Some of it you gon' like, some of it you ain't. Tired of hearing fools complaining in barber chairs and beauty.
And we are the Truth Brothers. The number to give us a call is 818-514-120. That's 818-514-120.
And as always, you guys can hit us up at our email at wewanttruth@att.net. And truth is spelled T-R-U-F.
And, of course, we got the chat room wide open for anybody who wants to talk about football and what have you. And I'm just saying, long time back.
Yeah, man. Excited. Ready to get back into this, man.
Yeah. So how you feel, man? How's your weekend going?
Weekend was pretty decent, man. You know me, every, you know, weekend I'm with the kids, so it's just it's a stressful thing in itself, you know. I'm trying to keep from doing a Hulk Hogan leg drop on one of them, but I'm getting there. I'm making it happen.
All right, man. So are you ready to talk some football? I know I am.
Man, I've been itching for the season to come back, man. And we what, 8 days away? Yes, sir. I'm ready, man.
All right. And let's go ahead and get into who our special guest going to be. It's football time. It's Labor Day. You know, everybody is out there in their backyard barbecue, hanging out with family and talking football. So we figured we'll be same thing minus barbecue.
Right. We just do it. We'd fry these phone lines, man, instead. So, I mean, well, I guess we're going to get into the introductions. I'm going to introduce, you know, the man who's the reason y'all get to listen to The Terrible Truth and get your laughs in, and the man who kind of guided my intellect, we so to speak. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm introducing my dad, Thomas Harris, who's going to be joining in with us right now.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Yeah, I'm ready for this season to start also. I'm one of those guys from old school football with the 46 defense. I wish we had some players out there that can run it now. But, hey, let's see what this season is going to all bring. And welcome.
All right. And then I'd like to introduce the man who greatest production with myself. And because we talk football too, I'd like to introduce everybody to my dad, Ray K. Senior.
Hey, how we doing out there, America? Ray K. Senior. I'm enjoying this, waiting on the Bears. So let's get it on. And remember, they ain't nothing but a big cub.
I don't think that's a good way of logic to roll with right there.
Nah, the Bears going to be fine. They just do their thing, and they'll be just fine.
So.
Let's just jump into this thing. How was preseason?
The preseason? Let's just clear it out for me real quick. The preseason is not my thing, so to speak. I mean, I love to see the kids scrapping for a job, you know, and because that's where you really get to see the hunger in them. But the preseason isn't really my thing. I personally don't enjoy it as much as the regular season.
Right.
Well, the preseason, there's a lot of those guys will be going back to Walmart and Kmart, so we ain't gonna worry about them guys. We're worried about the 53-man roster. They got some pretty good young players, some veterans, and a mix in between. So the Bears just do what they do, and they should be okay.
Yeah, I got to say something about the preseason. I know it's something, as they say, preseason. Typically, what you're looking at is looking at how your players are performing, even in your veterans. Your veterans may not be up to par. For example, J. Marcus Webb, which he signed his own ticket out the door. But this preseason told us, hey, listen, we don't need to keep him on the roster anymore. So I think it is very important to watch these preseason games, get a grasp of who these players are, because a lot of these guys are no names.
Sure.
And soon to be house names, hopefully. I did see that they did release one kid there, Hurst, which is a DB. I really believe they should have held on to him.
Yeah,
hopefully
yeah.
he gets to the practice squad. But I think preseason is very important from my standpoint. It gives you an observation of what's going on with the team and what, you know, even though we're looking at vanilla offense and vanilla defense, and speaking of the defense during preseason, and they did exceptionally well, they just flipped the page from last year. I mean, it's not even a new chapter. They just running off from last year. But I enjoy it, you know, and hopefully some of these new players that they bring into this game will be in the Pro Bowl by the end of the season.
Right.
Yeah, that's a good analogy there. And the thing about the preseason is you try to get out the preseason unscathed, you know. If your
right.
players come around and they're playing up to par and they don't get hurt, that's a successful preseason. That's the whole thing in a nutshell. Speaking of Webb, that was the first thing that the Bears did that made sense to me. The guy is slow, not only on foot, but in the mind. So
right.
you take some young rookies come in that want to play, aggressively playing. This guy should have been gone last.
And speaking on them rookies, man, I'm loving how Howie Long's son's coming along, though. Him and that other rookie, I can't remember his name, if they line those
Mills.
Two up together. Yeah. The way they lining them up together, man, I'm liking the progression. I did see now, like Pop said, it is a vanilla offense playing the vanilla defense. But at the same time, if they could, that kid, Howie's son, Long, he's not going to do nothing but get better. And if he wants to be as good as his brother is and as good as his dad was, that kid got all the tools and the utensils to be great, man. Everything.
Yeah, I was going to, you know, one of the things I was when they drafted him, but watching him play, you can see his fundamental part is wrong. He had started that. He was very strong. I got drafted.
They come, that's a football family. Them guys been playing football since they were shorties. And it's all about the hunger and the desire. If you want to get out there and do something and make a name for yourself and not ride on the shoulders of your parents, then that's what you go out there and do. These guys want to play. If you come to play, then come to play. You know, you don't come to get a paycheck. Come to play.
Yeah.
But I want to ask you guys, what's against Mark Trustman, who came right out the gate, and DeMarcus Webb was on the bubble, and he was willing to go out on the put on the right side where Lovey couldn't seem to make that stuff.
Well, from a few games I've seen, I'm on the West Coast, and I've seen a couple of bad games, and I usually catch the game again on the NFL channel later. But these two young guys on the offensive line, they make a big, big difference. They come to play, they want to play, and they football players. Not playing football, they are football players. So if you're a football player, the game is to be played. I like what the Bears are doing on the offensive line, and I think that they can only get better because the show can't get no worse.
Well, you know, with those young kids, as the old saying goes, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. So those young kids on that right side is absorbing everything that the coach is bringing to them, you know. So, they're very talented. So hopefully when they get across these other defenses that are ranked in the top five of last year, then they can really tell the tale how they're going to hold up. But I think they can still stand their ground.
Yeah, they're gonna be fine. I mean, these guys, they're going to have their trials and tribulations, but – they should get better as they go. Like I said, the first good thing was you change the coaching staff. And these
right.
guys seem to come in with a mindset of winning. Not a mindset of surviving, but a mindset of winning.
And I'm glad
that,
you brought up
I
that you're from the West
fine.
Coast, because what you're about to see is some West Coast offense.
Yeah.
It's a fast-paced game, high-scoring game. That's the way it's supposed to be run in the West Coast offense. So you're going to see the ball getting to move around, color dropping, three-step drop, the ball should be gone. You know, so this West Coast offense should really work for the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, one thing that I did like, even though everything was vanilla, I see the first team actually moving the ball. The same drive and seeing the ball get moved from one end of the field to the other. That's a positive thing in my opinion. So the Bears real big ball.
Well, you know, the thing about moving the ball is we got to still kind of be optimistic because hopefully Cutler's mindset can change, because if not, then he'll be throwing the ball in the double coverage, and he don't, you know, I know with the pressure on it, he wants to release the ball, but maybe with the offensive line being a little bit better than it has been, and his decision-making hopefully will get better, because that's going to be the key to the whole thing, his decision-making.
I don't think he's as arrogant as he was last year. Just to mention, he just recently got married, had a little baby and whatnot. And I think that brought him down to earth, you know, to really realize, okay, hey, it's not all about me anymore. It's about others. So hopefully with that family that he has now, maybe that will roll over and he can spread the love across that with those receivers and the tight ends he got. Because they gave him everything what a quarterback wants in a package, great tight end and great receivers.
And a running back that can catch and run with the ball.
Right.
So.
And that looks like the running backs, they talented, picked up, because I like this guy Ford. He shows.
Oh man.
He want to run hard, and you know that. Oh, that looks good. That looks great.
Yeah. The thing is, when you see a back like Ford, and he's being in the third string, sometimes another, you know. He's not going to really shine, not unless the Bears are really blowing someone out. So he's going to be sitting back really watching the game. And a kid like that, the way I saw him run the ball, I wouldn't be surprised, you know, once his contract is up, someone's going to snatch him up and he's going to end up being with another team.
Well, that's if they don't work him into the offense eventually anyway. I believe, like, you know, I don't want nothing to happen to Bush. I like Bush. I like Forte. But they need to at least disguise something to put the kid in the game just so he can get some in-game action and get the kid better.
Well, they're probably going to use him on special teams. I mean, you know, they can't, you know, just leave that talent just sitting on the sidelines. He's going to be on special teams.
Yeah, that's true, and being on special teams, I think even if once they sign him, it should at least be a two-year contract.
Absolutely.
I don't think they're going to be one and done, you know.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up about
the talent level is definitely there. It's just as I know the Cutler didn't got married and he's mature, but you know we can't force the ball into Marshall every time with double.
Exactly, he has a
got
point.
Other receivers and backs that as capable as him to catch the ball and advance the ball down the field.
Yeah, I hope he spread the love.
He's got to.
That's true.
To the West Coast office, 3 seconds. No one knows he's ready to ball.
Exactly.
And as long as he's not worried about getting screen from his blind side, I think he's all right.
Well, that's true. Then again, it goes back to what we said earlier. You know, these young boys is the key to this whole season. They got the talent. The draft looked like it was great. And they want to play. So if he's got the time, he can hurt you. We just have to see how that's going to go.
Yeah. Now, to get into that, I remember a few minutes back, we were talking about the Jamarcus Webb situation and how preseason let us know that Jamarcus Webb should have been gone. I don't believe that preseason let us know that Jamarcus Webb should have been gone. I believe all of last season let us know that Jamarcus Webb should have been gone. Like, I don't know what it was about Jamarcus Webb that allowed that everybody that was watching the game could see, but nobody in the coaching staff or in that organization couldn't see.
Well, you got to look at it. Then what you do is, okay, what can we do to replace this defensive tackle? I mean, offensive tackle.
Put a brick there because it was just as good.
Well, you know, that is true. But you got to look across the league and say, okay, who can we replace him with right now and at this time? You know, the writing was on the wall when they told him he had to take a pay cut. So they pretty much was telling him, you're out the door if you don't make any type of improvement, you know. So if you do improve, you got a pay cut, maybe you get a little bonus, or where rework your contract if you prove to us you're capable of what you're doing. The kid was he's a pretty good run block. Pass block, he's terrible.
He's a bad speller, too. He can't spell.
Well, you know, he's got slow feet. I mean, if you look at him, he comes out of his stance, and he's looking to block somebody instead of coming out your stance looking to attack. He's got slow feet.
And he
ain't the smartest rock in the bunch.
Yeah,
right.
I heard that the boy failed a spelling test he had to spell his name and couldn't do it.
Couldn't start with J, huh?
Right.
Well, like I said, we've seen it. We're bad fans. We've been watching the Bears for a long time. We're bad fans, and you can see it. You get beat on the same play that you 300 and some pounds, you get bomb rushed by a linebacker and knocked on your butt. Come on, man.
Right.
Come on, play the game.
Exactly.
Let me jump in here and get a break again. We're going to go to a quick break. Back, we will talk about Jamarcus Webb and everybody else when we come back from this break.
From Truth Brothers Radio. As you may know, for 2012, Truth Brothers Radio has received two Jordan McHale Awards for Best New Show of the Year, as well as Best New Group or Duo, and we couldn't have done it without you and your continued support. Keep listening to the Truth Brothers live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time on blogtalkradio.com or call into the show at 818-514-1202 to listen and give us your questions or comments. Missed an episode? No worries. All episodes are archived on our Blog Talk Radio page, Facebook, or you can download episodes for free on iTunes. Be sure to check out our clips on YouTube and share them with your friends and family. Again, thanks for all the love and support as we keep doing our thing. Peace.
Brothers Radio. We're back. We're talking football. Me and Devon have our esteemed fathers on the show, and we are all just sitting around talking football. You can jump in on the conversation, too. Just call 818-514-1202. Jump in, give us your thoughts, whether it's about the Bears or whether it's about your favorite team. Just give us a call because we're talking that football. And
shout out to the man Justice over there, man, and the Buccaneers. I know he told me to do that. So big shout out to Justice, man, and the big Buccaneer fan.
There you go. And I wanted to ask you guys something. Last year, Monday night game, Jamarcus Webb stinking up the field, Cutler getting his back blown up, and lashed out at him as they was heading over to the sideline, and he caught all the flack for that. Was that fair or unfair for him to do that, or what would you guys take on that?
If it was up to me, I'd hit him upside with my helmet.
Okay.
you know, you're paid to protect me. The highest paid offensive lineman is the left tackle. His job is to protect the blind side.
Gotcha.
And if you can't do that and you're getting me killed over here, you know, football is football. This don't make it soft. okay?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a game of being almost like being in a car accident. It's a collision every time. You know, there's no place to be pampering somebody, you know, because, you know, it's all right, baby. You made a mistake. It's well. Hey. Listen, this quarterback, he has a life. He has to feed his family. He has to do all these things. He has to be protected. So, no, what he did, that's fine with me. And it's done throughout the league.
Mm-hmm.
It's done throughout the league.
I was just about to get into that because everybody loves Peyton Manning. Everybody loves Peyton. He's the John Cena of the NFL, right? So, but y'all fail to realize because Peyton has this image of this good boy, I like to drive cars and they're nice cars that you can have, get you a Buick or whatever the case may be. But Peyton cusses people out in the huddle. Peyton has changed offensive plays and told dude worse than what Cutler told the other guy. Peyton has gotten in running backs, receivers, linemen's faces and told them, hey, you stinking up my field. But now I put it mildly. I'm paraphrasing what Peyton was saying. And one more other dude before we get off that, Tom Brady.
Yes, sir.
Tom Brady's another one that gets in your face to tell you, look, who come besides Belichick? Remember before they got over there to the Patriots, Randy Moss and Ocho Cinco had an ego out of this world.
Yep.
And Peyton and Brady was like, nah, let me tell you how we run things here. And when they got there, one, how much trouble did you see them get into? And when they wasn't getting, the team they was with before, they were complaining that they didn't get the ball. And they got the ball a lot less when they got to the Patriots, and they didn't say nothing.
Well, you know, the thing is, the quarterback is the alpha dog, you know, and for every action, there's a reaction. What he did to DeMarcus Webb should have been done 4 or 5 games ago. You get tired of getting wasted, man. You're getting beat up on your blind side, and this guy don't really seem to care. Like I said, football is football, like this guy said. And when you play, I got to do my job. If I do my job, you can do your job. If everybody do their job, we got a chance of winning the big show. So you got everything from one reaction to the next reaction. Yeah, I mean, actually, you should have slapped him in the mouth.
Hey, I'm with him.
I mean, because look at these players, these quarterbacks. If their offensive line does well, hey, listen, I'm taking you out to dinner. I'm buying you Rolex watches. I'm doing everything. Thank you. You know, but do you think Cutler went to his offensive line in the past years and say, listen, I'm not even buying you a Happy Meal?
There you go.
Okay. You know, so.
Right. All gifts do pass.
Now, and to get and to go back into that though, like Ray, I think your dad was saying that he seemed not care because after Cutler went at him and yelled at him and told him what he felt and gave him a little shove, Marcus just had the dumb laugh on his face like, ah, it's a bit of B.I. It's just another hit. You'll
right.
be fine.
No.
Yeah, but he ain't the one taking the hits.
Exactly.
Right.
I mean, you go far as your quarterback takes you, and if you like in the Green Bay games and the Detroit game, this guy is awful. He's gone, you know. Let him be gone. I would be totally shocked if somebody else picked him up. I really would because he's lazy. You know, once you get a couple of dollars in your pocket, you trying to play football with your wallet in your pocket, it don't work.
Right. Yeah. His stock went way down. I mean, anytime a player takes a pay cut. And he don't see, you know, he's talking to his agent and say, listen, you know, they're talking about a pay cut here. Is anyone out there that wants me? Agent comes back and say no. Then, okay, I got to take this pay cut.
Now going in, real quick, going in on pay cuts and saying, does anybody want me? What you think about Urlacher?
Well, with Brian Urlacher, the handwriting was on the wall. I liked Urlacher. He's a great football player when he played with great football players. He wasn't everything that they brought him up to be. But when you 35 and you chasing 23, that don't last very long.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree with you. Go ahead.
That out there want that starter budget, that is not going to work. You're supposed to take the veteran budget, go out, and start getting
Yeah, he should went ahead and took that little money that they was going to offer him and just been humble and finished the season out with the Bears, then retired and whatnot. He knows the condition that his body was in. He know he has lost a step. I mean, you know, he was a darn good middle linebacker, especially
the
position with the cover two.
Yeah,
the cover two that he had to play. It's not the strength of a middle linebacker to be running down the field and play safety. Middle linebackers, his job is to stuff that run, watch out for that tight end, make the tackles, get the sacks, and what have you. Because you look throughout the league, ain't too many teams that now is running the cover two.
Right.
But he's a Hall of Famer.
Absolutely.
He will go into the Hall of Fame, but he should have, you know, took that little money that they had to offer, you know, went in and just say, okay, I'm ride this out, and just gracefully left the game of football.
And that's what happened when you let your pride take over. And Urlacher's pride didn't hit his age. He didn't realize, one, that you're not going to get, like, his agent should have been, I don't know if he was or not, I wasn't in the room, but his agent should have been straight up with Urlacher and told him, dude, you're not going to get what you're asking for. No team will give you what you're asking for. You, like, the $3 million was what you were going to get because one of your A's, two, I think the last two seasons, you didn't play the full 16 games, which means your body is not going to get better. It's going to get worse. So any team that picks you up is taking a chance on you. They don't even know if you're going to, like, I mean, I would take your leadership. I'll take your knowledge of the game. That in itself, I say, is worth $3, $4 million for that year. And that's it. Then your job after that is to be honest. You're training the guy I'm getting to replace you.
Right.
Let's just be real. That's where you're at.
For sure.
Yeah, that's pretty close to the money right there. And then he's playing next to Briggs, and Briggs will cover his backside, and he's got a good defensive line in front of him. I mean, it is whether you play. You know, NFL is not for long, and he played a long time. So he should be very well, and he should have went out gracefully. I read a blog on the Bears and the great quarterback, young quarterback at by the Seahawks, he's saying this guy ended my career because he was trying to chase him down on a play. As I said before, guys, 35 chasing 23 will never work.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Show a little appreciation for the you got to spend your whole career with one self-reliant.
Not bad, right?
Going out, yeah. He went out like a shot. He went out like a thousand men.
Yeah. I mean, he didn't. I don't think he went out the way. I think, you know, to compare who he went out like, I say he went out like Favre went out.
No, Favre jumped
very
around.
True.
But that's what I mean by the way he went out is. Favre could have left it alone. Could have left it alone and went out a Packer. Favre didn't have to go to the Jets. Then he didn't have to go to the Vikings. Favre could have, and I mean, that year he spent in the Jet was a bust. He didn't even, them jerseys sold and then was burnt the next year. So then with the time with the Vikings, don't get me wrong, he was good at the Vikings. He took them to play the Saints where they almost got out of there. But at that time, I mean, it wasn't his time. And he could have just left as a Packer, which I think the way he left kind of hurt the Packers because he was kind of like telling them, yeah, I'll be back. No, I won't be back. Yeah, I'll be back. And he played with
them. Well, actually, the Packers are thankful. Thankful that he made the decision because Aaron Rodgers came in and he did his due. So.
But
hey, that's the way football is.
Right, but they had to come up for him to pass the court and go out like a hero. And like Paul said, to play games. They did also.
Well, you know, Urlacher, you know, he's a great middle linebacker. He was the bad kind of middle linebacker. And he should have took a page from Singletary. It is what it is when it's over. I ain't got
right.
No bitterness to nobody. I'm going to the next phase. He wasn't ready for the next phase.
No.
Because
he still
thought that he could chase down these young kids, and he can't do it.
And
when
that's
the realization
set
in on him, or what time it was, he was bitter about it.
Right. Right. Now, I'm glad you brought up Singletary there. Okay, we had a discussion one time. I just played the game just for a very small time, not on a professional level, just on a little high school. Whatever happens in the locker room stays in the locker room. It don't go out tweeting or Facebooking and, all this type of stuff that's with the social media that has now. Well, like they say, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. What happens in the football locker room stays in the football locker room. Now, my boy Mike Singletary, loved him to death when he was with the Bears, still love him to this day. He decides to pull his pants down in front of his team and say, hey, listen, kiss my A. Okay?
Now, as a coach, for the 49ers. This man walked into the, I guess he said the team was stinking up the field. He walks into the locker room. Here's the part that gets me with that. You had to have a pre-notion that you're going to do this when you get in the locker room.
It could have been spontaneous because a coach can Bobby Knight throwing a chair. He don't sit down in the chair and say, you know what, I'm gonna get up and throw this chair. It's just spontaneous. He gets the chair and throws it. But
Mike been wanting to do that for a long time.
That's something. If it's in the locker room, it stays in the locker room.
But don't show me what you got in your pants, bro. I don't want to see that. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I don't want to see. The thing about Singletary and the 49ers is that if you look at the 49ers makeup today, that's Mike Singletary's team. He came in there and said, you ain't going to work, you will work. You ain't going to work, you will work. He picked out guys that wanted to win. And the basis of that team right now is a team that Singletary put together.
Oh, yeah,
absolutely.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
You will not get an argument with me out of that. That was Super Bowl. That was Singletary's Super Bowl to try to get. I still believe that to this day. Because the team he had, I don't know about the Kaepernick kid, but because I think Singletary would have kept Smith and let Smith stay starting. But, I mean, and all in all, that was Singletary's team to take that Super Bowl, and that was Singletary's team to try to dethrone, to try to kill Ray Lewis' story.
Right.
But,
And what went so wrong with Singletary? How did he lose that so fast? The draw.
I think him pulling his pants down did it, man. I think that's what got him out. I think somebody told on him that, hey, man, look, I'm cool. I like working as a 49er, but coach likes showing us his booty in the robes. It don't make me feel comfortable.
But, that's in-house. That's in the locker room. That should have stayed in the locker room. You don't get that out to the press and whatnot. That's looking bad on your coach.
Your coach is showing you his rear end in the locker room.
Throughout NFL seasons, football, let's talk NFL football.
Mm-hmm.
Throughout all these teams, these coaches get in your face, they get in your grill, they spit in your face, they do this, they do that. They do all type of stuff. But it stays in the locker room.
If it stays in the locker room, then Lovie Smith had the quietest locker room that ever was. Because this guy showed no emotion, and he showed
nothing.
No heart.
And
when it came down to the crunch time, the Bears looked just like Lovie Smith.
Yeah. We used to call his when he used to go out to Bourbonnais with, we used to call it the Lovey Day Camp.
Yeah.
Because, the guys are not doing anything to me as far as preparations as far as the football game is concerned. Now, what they do behind closed doors, I don't know, but in camp, they didn't show anything,
They took the
and he
they
ran
the
little daycare camp, so.
Your game reflect on everything you do. Practice, proper practice, and prevents poor performance. And this man did not – I don't think he practiced as if the game was on the line. I don't think he practiced as if, we're playing Green Bay next week. Yo, we're playing the Patriots. Yo, we're playing the Saints. We're playing the Peyton Manning's Broncos. He never practiced, to me, in my opinion, as if we're playing teams. He practiced as in, all right, we're not even playing flag football. We're playing two-hand touch. That's
right.
How he practiced to me. Now, I don't know what happened in the Hallis Hall area, but when we would go down to Bourbonnais, put it like this. The Bourbonnais I used to go down and see Lovey with was totally different than the one I seen with Tressman.
Trestman had them dudes out there hitting. He had them out there blocking. He had it. I saw a couple where a couple dudes was in a couple dude face, and I liked it. Give me that. Don't give me everybody. Don't give me the London silly nannies. I don't want that. I don't want to play for the silly nannies. No.
All right, let's get a break in here, guys. Let's get a break going, and we come back. We can talk about the difference that you've seen between Lovey's camp and the difference that you guys happen to notice with Trustman's camp. We come back to the show, True Brothers Radio. Radio.
You're good, but let's be honest, you're not perfect. And that's not American. We strive to be number one in everything. Sports, politics, economics, homelessness, degeneracy. Los Santos is the home of beauty and glamour for the whole world. Live up to society's expectations. Play your part. Your body is a work of art. Don't leave it half-finished. It's time for your creative plastic surgery. We'll make your face as tight as a drum. We'll suck fat out of your body with an industrial pump. Increase your confidence with fake breasts to ensure people know what you're all about. For the more adventurous, why not try an extra nose or three breasts? You know how much men like breasts. Can you imagine how wild they'll go for udders?
My wife was complaining that she did all the work. Carried the baby for 9 months, had painful labor. It's not fair to her my nipples are useless. That's why I had creative plastic surgery. I got a set of udders installed. Now my son can suck my udders while I'm watching the game. The fellas at the bar love them too.
Men never stared lasciviously at my ass. Then I had a tail attached. Now people can't stop looking.
Beauty is not skin deep. It's less than that. Creative plastic surgery. Achieve your own utopia.
What's that, NBC? Yeah, bro?
Hello?
Yeah, we here, man. I'm saying you couldn't hear you for a minute, man. It was like got quiet. I heard you come in.
No,
and
it's all good. The only thing I want to say about Lovey's camp and this Trustman's camp, I haven't been to Bourbonnais for a minute, but at least on the field you could see where the intensity was there. And I ain't going to totally kill Lovey because they didn't come in and say, well, let's revamp this defense and do this because if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And that's what these guys were saying. They enhanced that. And why not? I mean, all these guys did things last year that you didn't see before. So
right. Why
miss the success?
He's an excellent defensive coordinator. I give him that. But and somewhere and somehow with another team, that he probably can be a great head coach. He just got to get that, you know, that I think it was a problem was he became too close to the players. I mean, it's still a business and whatnot. You're on the management team, and you have to manage. If you have players that's not performing well, you got to throw that friendship and that family love that you have for them away and say, listen, I got to let you go. You're not working for me. You know, for me to keep a job here in Chicago, I got to have the right people around me. And I think he fell in love with too many of those players and say, listen, I'm not going to change a thing with you guys. You know, he's a great defensive coordinator. I mean, wow, look what he did. 10-6, I was looking at it that the defense was outscoring the offense in some games.
Yeah, because he went to his defense and said, hey, y'all score for me.
But that's not the, you know, the offense is what, you know, wins the game, you know.
Yeah, but if you, he invests more, and that was noted that he invested more money into his defense than he did his offense. I mean, the biggest offensive push that they made was the before, I mean, up to date, the first real big push they did to get some money was get Jay Cutler. Before then, what really big major offensive move did they make?
Well, they was bust. Colombo, he injured himself. That was, he was in the first round draft pick. He was a bust. Camry, I'm maybe murdering his name. Camry, me, whatever his name is, he was a bust. He was a first round draft pick. So they was making some picks on the offense, but they wasn't successful.
I mean, I give you, man. You know what? Let me go back. I gotta say something. I give you A-Train. Anthony Thomas was a pretty good pick, and because when he came in, he did break a couple little records here and there. But like I said, other than that, I didn't see anything come from that offense.
It's not only Lovie, it's the people that drafted. You know, you take your general managers and all that.
Right.
I mean,
the scouting report.
You bypass players or you cut players, and, you know, you draft the wrong players for the wrong situation. You know that old saying, the best athlete available? To me, I ain't never really bought into that, because if I need an offensive line, and I know this is what I need, and they got a defensive back out there, and he's the best athlete available, that don't make no sense to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, hey, speaking on draft pick that made it and became bust, I got one guy named David Terrell. Y'all guys remember
that
guy?
Michigan.
David Terrell came here. He was a bust. And he also had a bust on the low end of Chicago selling that ooh-wee.
Yeah, my man. I was a huge David Terrell fan when he first got here, man. I thought that kid was gonna do it. I swear, I thought he was our answer to rent for Randy Moss, man. I thought the kid was just gonna be the best. And
well, you know, he is at the best of marking that ooh wee,
that sticky.
And that's one thing I can't understand. You look across the league here, and I'm not going to down the Bears about, you know, Dallas at one time had so much trouble with the police and whatnot, and having arrests and what have you and whatnot. Now we have this kid Hernandez, which is going to be facing life in jail pretty soon. I just don't get it when you're given that great opportunity because you're blessed to be playing for the NFL, playing for the NBA. Playing for Major League Baseball, and then you turn around and you just say, hey, my lifestyle is not going to change. I'm still going to be a gangster,
from the block.
Or I'm going to be a drug dealer. I'm going to still do these type of things, you know, but my, you know, this is not going to change my lifestyle, because this gift that has been given to me, I'm going to abuse it, and I'm going to do the same thing that I have been doing. I never did get that. There's too many kids out here have an opportunity. Well, we got too many kids now. If you ask them now what they want to be, oh, I want to be a basketball player. I want to be a football player. You know, you never. It's very seldom and rare that you hear a kid say these days, well, I want to be a doctor or a lawyer or something that is outside of football or any type of sport. But
it's no glory in that.
Yeah.
It's no. People always claim they don't want fame, but they want fame. Some people want fame. I mean, I don't want the fame. I just want the money. If that's the case, you can go get your doctorate, or you can go be a CEO of a Fortune 500. But people want fame. The lifestyle of an NFL player, the lifestyle of a basketball player, is so much flashier than the doctor. The doctor can't go into Arnie's and have a whole bunch of people flashing cameras at them and everything like that. But, you know, Ted Washington, the dude we had from the Bears, you know, he could go out, wear the shirt that say Young Money or whatever it was he had on, New Money or whatever he had, and you get snapped, you get pictures, you get everything snapped at you, and that's what it's about. People want that they want the glamour that comes with being an NFL player, that comes with being a that comes with winning championships. You know, nobody now wants to be the dude to say, oh yeah, man, I saved her life. I did a triple bypass on her. You know, now she's good.
Yeah, but
well, you know,
I mean,
they got a commercial. They got a commercial that says they show all the people that didn't make it, and they became pro in another field other than sports. And the sad part about with the media the way it is now, you know, fame not only they not only want fame on a football field, they want fame in the schoolhouse where they threaten children. All of this is fame. And, you know, our identity of fame and the lifestyle that we live in the United States is as crazy as you can get.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I was also going to say that, you know, a lot of these kids, when they think they can put it in the NFL, they want to break the
test. Yeah.
About taking the test. The test is going to get passed. When they hit college, they ain't got to worry about passing.
Right.
And by the time they make the big time and make the money, this is their mindset from the get go. So it's easy stuff.
Yeah.
You know, there's a thing, and it's just a thug in a football uniform or a thug in a baseball uniform. They still thugs, you know. You get an opportunity to do something, and instead of you doing something on the positive side, you are what you are. Money changes you, but you are who you are.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. Like, you know, the thing about it, and it's not the fact that money doesn't change you. Money can change the people around you. And even if you're a humble kid or whatever like that, like the situation, I mean, I know we talking sports and everything, so we're going to keep it there. But the situation going on with Dwayne Wade's child's mom is ridiculous. I mean, you're trying to taint a man's image who, one, he's giving back to his community, like with through his Wade World organization, which is something gorgeous, you know. And then, you know, he has custody of his kids. He's paying her, like, I forgot the amount that he was paying her a month. But I'm like, how are you broke? There's no way possible, baby. Now, let me go here first before I say anything else. You are probably going broke trying to live Dwayne's Wade lifestyle. That's not for you. When did you ever dunk a basketball? Your priority is, one, you don't have the kids with you. You're getting a decent amount of money. If you can't live in Donald Trump Towers, there's a nice little co-op over there you can afford and take care of yourself. You can't live Dwayne Wade's lifestyle. That's not for you. And I believe that, and then she goes ahead and she sits out on the in front of the Daily Center and with a sign with her little co-girl, with her girl co-signing with her saying, and the sign says, yeah, the ex-wife of an NBA All-Star, and I'm on food stamps or whatever the case may be. No, that's not fair. That's not right. That's not
well,
right
you know,
at all.
With that situation, you know, you got to look at where they come from and what they was trying to do. She never had money, and even when she had money, she didn't know how to deal with the money. You can't let everybody around you whisper in your ear when you got a few pennies, and then when the pennies is gone, all your friends are gone too. She had an opportunity to do a lot of things. She took the kids, gave her millions, and you know, this is your life now. You know, I gave you money, I took the kids, you get money every month. If you want to go out and jack that money off, then that's you. That ain't on me. That's on you.
And we got a couple of people in the queue if you want to give your opinion, please. Number one, and Tommy,
yeah, big bro, you going in and out a little bit too, man. Like, you going in and
yeah,
out.
Yeah, you
kind of
fading in and out on me.
Yeah.
But, you know, all I wanted to say was there's been many an athlete, whether they was black or white, where that female in the background either made them better than what they were or drove them to the ground and into the dirt. So, you know, it kind of depends on who you deal with, you know?
Yeah, that's true. That's very true.
Yeah, I mean, You know, but here's the thing, like, I would assume that if you get with somebody before they had something, like Dwayne Wade was with his wife, his only wife that he's had, since, you know, he was, before he was D. Wade, he'd been with her, you know, years before he even made it, before he even went to Marquette, he was with her. And I assume if we come up together, we grind together, and we succeed together, I mean, like, now, let's be real. Dwayne Wade came out and said, yeah, was I the best husband? No, I was not. The fame and not the fame, but the women. He said the women throwing themselves at him, kind of, you know, he took a dabble every once in a while. And I get that. You know, are you supposed to do it? No, you're not supposed to do it. Does it happen all the time? Yeah, I mean, that's the life. Let's be real. That's the life of an NBA player. That's the life of an NFL player. That's the life of a Major League Baseball player. That's the life of a hockey player. That's the life of David Beckham. I can't say all other soccer players. We just going to keep it to David Beckham. That's his life. So, I mean, it's few to find a young dude, especially when the time Dwayne Wade, he's 2003, he's young. He's got an NBA championship. He, 2005. He's young. He's got an NBA championship. The world is his oyster. He's getting that contract. He's the finals MVP. And, yeah, women are going to start to come to him. Women are going to start to throw themselves at him, and they're going to try to seduce him or whatever the case may be. And he faltered. But, again, Jordan, name me one that didn't, as far as I know.
Well, you can't name one that didn't, because that is the criteria for that lifestyle. But the smart ones, they women know that. And they women keep a hold of the bank account.
Exactly.
And know where that money is going. You know,
yeah.
you can do whatever you want to do as long as you ain't dipping in the bank account.
The best woman to ever play that game in my world is Juanita Jordan.
The best woman to
play that game and win is Juanita Jordan. Hands down, because she killed it. She made sure. Yeah, Jordan, go ahead. Yeah, uh-huh. Yep, put a little piece. Not only did she constantly put little pieces to the side for herself, when she left, she got a big hunk of the change. So whatever she had stashed to herself was hers already. Then she gets the divorce, and Jordan still got to come off half of everything. Well played, ma'am.
Yeah, like I say, it is what it is. But I just want to ask you guys one thing on the Bears, so we can jump back on them for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me what you think of their cornerbacks. Is age catching up with them?
Peanut Tillman is ageless to me. He's ageless. He's like, I don't even know how. He's one of them dudes that will always. He's Jordan. He's one of them dudes and the punch is his fadeaway. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, he's down to technique right now. I don't know if he lost a step or not. I can't really tell because a lot of teams now don't want to throw the ball towards him. With that said, he's basically down to technique, and when he gets out on the field, he has in the clinic. He's doing a clinic. Anyone wants to know how to be a corner in the NFL, watch Charles Tillman. He's going to give you one-on-one on how to be a corner and how to defend. They even had a blitz package with Charles Tillman, which was surprising to me that during the preseason he blitzed and sacked the quarterback.
Yeah.
And to me that was kind of like unheard of. So I don't know if I can't think of the defensive coordinator that Chessman has under him, but I don't know if this is something that they're going to have during the regular season that you may see him blitz because a lot of teams are staying away from throwing the ball towards him because the fear of him punching the ball out.
Yeah.
Now,
it's phenomenal. And what it is, he's got that like Rod Wilson reputation. Like you say, he didn't just throwing the ball at him because, like you say, he's got that punch out down pat. But
right.
Now, I think that's what's helping him because if he has lost. Able to cover it up.
Right.
The addition will be real telling about that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that only goes to show you the difference in the coaching staff because this guy was saying that that's something that they should have utilized a long time ago. You know, the corners coming in. I mean, other teams do it all the time. The Bears just never did. They have personnel to do it.
Right.
So it just goes to show you the difference in the coaching technique. And I think these guys is going, they know that the defense is good. You can critique it a little bit here and there, and they know what they can do. And I think at the direction that they're going in, they're going to be fine. I don't think that near in the fourth quarter, halfway through, I don't think this defense will get tired like the last did.
No, because what happened is they got this. They still have that rotation. You're going to have defensive ends that's going to come in fresh in the game. Peppers is going to get that chance where he's up in age now. But we don't need you to play the whole game. We just need you at key points and whatnot. You got Wooden out there as defensive end. He'll come in. McLennan, he'll come in as defensive end. So
I like how he's coming along.
They rotate on the defensive tackle. They keep that defensive line fresh. So, you know, it's going to be pressure there. So, but to answer your question, on the other half of that cornerback tandem is Jennings.
Jennings, yeah.
Right. So this kid here to me is he mirrors the receiver. Because sometimes I'm seeing the receiver runs out and he's running a route, and Jennings is right there in his pocket, getting ready to pick the ball off.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I've seen him in some cases during the preseason and last year, he was running the route better than the receiver, and he's the cornerback.
Yeah.
He just knows the game. He has a very high football IQ as far as being a DB.
Right. The light.
Right. And he's going to get better because – what makes all, if you name all the players that has played professional sports, what made them great? And what made them great was practice and hard work.
Mm-hmm.
You can name it down the line. I don't care who you name. Practice and hard work.
Yeah, most of the great ones, and I'm going to say this real quick to give you an example. Muhammad Ali. They mm-hmm. asked him, what do you love about boxing? He said, I love to train.
Right. Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, and to get into something, though, real quick, because I was reading a story a couple of days ago, and I actually heard it on the radio too about
Hold on.
About the.
Let's get ready to half now. Let's get ready to go to the second half.
Okay.
Break. We're gonna jump to the second half. Let's get into what Devon's saying. I'll call a 773. I see you out there. We will give us. On the other half,
come back. We're going to go ahead and continue on and get everything going. We come back on the second half. Truth Brothers Radio. Brothers Radio.
Do you find your daughter's friends attractive, but know they look at you as just a dad? Does the typing pool at work think of you more as a teddy bear than a tiger? Do you whack off in your minivan while listening to teen pop? You know, you'll be dead soon. You've missed out on so much. It's not too late to make a change. At the Midlife Crisis Center, we know you've made a success of yourself. Why are you sharing it with others? Why not enjoy it while you have a chance? What's holding you back? Cowardice. We'll get you to the other side of your despair. We specialize in real estate, divorce attorneys, mistress placement, plastic surgery, hair coloring and replacement, male fur coats, and much more. With a designer clothing store and sports car dealership on site, the Midlife Crisis Center will help you discover life while you still can. Come with your wife, leave with a sports car. While you've made a success of yourself, her chest has gone south. How can you have that trollop on your arm for a second longer? The answer is you can't. Ignore your children. take yourself seriously. Visit the Midlife Crisis Center today.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
True Brothers, True Brothers.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, man. Like I said, it's dropping out real bad. It is dropping out bad. But yeah, and I'm Devon, just so everybody know. Leave it there.
Oh, and we are the True Brothers. The number to give us a call is 818-514-1020. 818-514-1020.
And, yeah, don't forget to press the number one. And, as always, you guys know you can hit us up on our email at wewanttruth@att.net.
And truth is spelled T-R-U-F. Yep, and the chat room is wide open for anybody to comment.
Yeah.
And, yeah, we got a call real quick. So just jump to that real quick. Let's see what they got to say.
All right. You got a caller jumping in?
Yeah.
Hello?
733? Yeah, you're on. What's your comment? Hello?
Hello?
Yeah.
You're on, man. What's your comment?
Yo, I was just really trying to say, what games are y'all trying to see this year for the Chicago Bears?
What game in particular?
Yeah, what game?
I mean, I'm always interested in the Packer games, man. I love the Packers. Or mostly anything in our division, I love watching. But I'm really interested to see what the Bears and the Packers are going to do. That was one of the big games I want to see.
Now with me, this is Thomas. With me is I want to see that first game. I want to see that game against the Bengals. The reason why is that's to tell the tale. How is that offensive line is going to be working, what the defense is going to be doing, how Cutler going to be having a feel for a game, because now the game has stepped up to another pace. It's it's regular season now. I'd like to see that Cincinnati Bengals game, so I can see where these Bears are really going.
Well, with me, I like the Detroit games because that's really I've watched a little bit of Detroit, and they look a little better with Bush. And the receivers are great. And to me, that Tillman and Megatron matchup is one of the best matchups you're going to see in football.
Yeah, I agree to that.
Yeah, you took the words right out of my mouth. I was looking forward to the Lions game.
Okay. I can't copy that.
Yeah. I mean, he was basically saying the same thing. You know, he looks forward to the Detroit games. You know, and thanks for the call. We appreciate that, no doubt. But yeah, I mean, the Detroit games are always going to be exciting. I mean, you got like Ray's dad was saying. You know, you got arguably one of the best receivers in the league. Well, I can't even say arguably. One of the best receivers in the league going against probably the greatest corner that the Bears have had, in my opinion. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, the king. And if you notice, though, last season when Detroit played the Bears, they really kind of kept Megatron under what he was used to. And that's because of the – I'm going to call it that Tillman effect.
Yeah, that's true. And another matchup is going to be very interesting this year is with Sue, and I know that they're going to put him over the two rookies. And I'm really going to see how that play itself out.
Now, here's it. Let me ask a question with that. Now, let's talk about Ndamukong Suh, right? Let's talk about the kid who has all the potential in the world to be great. This dude has a shot of being better than Warren Sapp to me. Truly does, right? But his brain doesn't comprehend, because he just has what we were talking about earlier, that thug mentality that I believe he takes to the football game, and he brings it on that field. Like, he does little unnecessary things that wind up hurting his team as far as the win column in the long run. Like stepping on dudes' heads when you've already got them down. Like, it's little things that Ndamukong Suh does that causes him fines, gets him suspended, and does little things like that. But the kid is great. Like, I love the kid as far as him being a player. I love Ndamukong Suh. The dude's a beast, man. But his psyche isn't there.
Well, you know, with Suh, he's in a small market on a losing team.
Yeah.
And if you want to get the light shined on you and get some recognition, you got to do what you got to do. But I've seen some clips of him in college, and his game really hasn't changed. The man has been a beast for a long time. And I guess he said, this is what got me here, and this is what's going to keep me here. But, yeah, the holding penalties and the late hits, you know, hey, we already know who you are. So, you know, go on and play the game the way it's supposed to be played.
Absolutely, and that's my thing. Now, speaking of the penalties and all these calls, bogus calls and fines or whatever. I mean, everybody was watching the game, I believe, the Bears game, where Bostic put a hit on that dude, something nasty. It was a legal hit, but Bostic laid this dude out.
Well, technically, it wasn't a legal hit. As far as us football fans and whatnot, it was a hit. But technically, the kid got fined $21,000.
Exactly. And that's the problem, because there was nothing bad about the hit. The new rules to protect players say it was something bad, but you're taking away from the sport of football. You're turning football into extreme frisbee.
Well, you know, football is like, as I mentioned earlier, football is like being in a car accident. You're going to have collisions. I mean, this is not a type of game that, I mean, you got to, well, what's going on with the league is concussions.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing.
Right, you know,
exactly,
that's what's going on in the league.
Same.
I think what they just gave up
$0.75 billion.
Or was it $0.75 billion of
it? No, $0.5 billion. It was like $769 million.
Okay, so, yeah, $0.75 billion.
And that still is not going to cover some of the things that affected some of these players. They had showed interviews with some of these guys. They had speech problems,
right,
walking problems. I mean, football is a violent, violent sport. And I think that they're really trying to say it wasn't a bad hit. It was a good hit as far as we looking at it. But if they showed it back in slow motion, the crowns of the helmets did come together. And they are so focused on trying to stop this that, you know, they do what they do.
Yeah, but see, the thing is, what you have to do now is these kids that's coming up now that's going to be our future football players and whatnot, they have to be taught this now.
Exactly.
And then into high school and then into college and whatnot, because, as I mentioned, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Here it is, these players has been taught.
From JV.
Right, all the way up, saying this is where you hit. This is where you're going to do. Ohio State, they coach what was his name? His saying was either knock that player out or get knocked out. I think his name was Ryan. I can't think of from Ohio State. Coach that they had, which had guys like Jack Tatum and Plank and whatnot. These guys, I mean, the Hitmen. Come on, that was football, you know. And it was unfortunate that our veteran players came out, like you mentioned, that having difficulties talking, can't remember anything from the past minute, and it's very unfortunate. But it's one of those type of games. I mean, it's almost to a point where you have to sign a waiver and saying that this is what you're going to be faced with.
And that's what
it's
I was about
contact,
to say, though.
It's a contact game.
You sign up for this. You know that football has to be the most physical sport that's known to man.
Hockey is something else.
Okay, but see, no. The reason
yeah,
I say hockey is different, because
you're more protected as far as gear in hockey than you are in football. That goal, look at that goalie. Look at the players. They have gloves that come up to their elbows and everything like that. Football, you coming out, you got a dude coming out there with his jersey rolled up into his shoulder pads and the midsection
is on. In hockey doesn't have the same type of helmet. They don't get the same helmet.
No, of course. I mean, the helmet is something different, but at the same
time.
But
see, that goes along with the game, too. Someone brought up, I don't know who brought it up. When you put these paddings on, you got your shoulder pads on, you got your I forgot the term, was a, not a flap jacket, but it's a vest that you wear to help protect your ribs and whatnot.
Right.
And you got
right.
all this stuff on. It makes you feel like you can take on the world because you're in this uniform. You're in this football uniform. And the way you can hit with that uniform on is not something that, let's say, if you take the uniform away, you'll have less injuries.
Yeah, you
would. I mean, we all probably can say, well, we done went outside and threw the ball around in the park or in, you know, just playing, you know, tackle football.
Uh-huh.
But you're not going to lay a hit, the same hit,
that
compared
you know
to wearing shoulder pads and a helmet.
True, but that's the thing.
I played football in the Marine Corps, and my first year playing in Okinawa, we decided we gonna play without equipment. And the first 3 weeks, they could have stopped that. We had like seven different players with broken bones. They was out there stumbling around. And
oh man, y'all was going at it.
Yes.
Well, you know, nowadays, I'm going to relay this story real quick. My grandson, he's just a freshman in high school, raised nephew, and he's good. I mean, he's a very, very good football player. I've been watching him since 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. Now he's in this high school, now one of the top high schools in Las Vegas. And we were out there watching them practice, and you're right. They're teaching them totally different from the way we play. They're teaching them how to hit, how to tackle, and not with the crown of the head.
Right.
They're showing these kids that there's a better way to do this than leading with your head like a torpedo. And I could see it with the freshmen, and I could see it on the varsity. And I've seen it in the 6th, 7th, and 8th grade level, whereas his dad was the coach, and they won the state championship of Las Vegas and all of that. But they're teaching them totally different from the way that we learned. And they're not leading with their heads because not you looking at the guy that's getting hit. Well, the guy that's doing the hit, a lot of those guys come up with concussions just as well as the guy that's got
hit. Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. That's very true.
Yeah. That goes along, like I was saying earlier, you know, the sport that you're playing is for gladiators, it's for warriors. And if you know, they don't, these Under Armour commercials and these Gatorade commercials that they're doing, they're glorifying the hits, but they're giving you the vanilla version of it. That sport is hard. It's hitting, it's pounding consistently for four straight quarters. So you got to understand, like, this, people go and buy their tickets to watch their team to do hits. I mean, you want your team to score, you want your team to win. But be honest, you go to football games because you're hoping to see a nice hit once every once in a while. You want to see that. And the thing is, it's more now towards the business aspect for owners, and they're looking into it as if, okay, these players – this dude, he's an investment, which I need him to be here for an extended amount of time. So, hey, we're going to do as much as we can to invest to protect my investment. Now, before we get into something else, don't get me wrong. Your quarterback needs some of those rules for him, for your quarterback. I get that. But you got a running back running uphill. You got a running back running down the field. And now you're telling me the new rule is the running back can't lower his head to truck the dude that's in front of him. That's a new rule. Why? How else am I supposed to get past this dude who's in my way? If I can't juke him because somebody's on the left and the right of me, how am I supposed to get past this dude other than truck him?
Well, where you was taught was to lower your head and go forward. Never lose yards. Go forward.
Right.
So, you know, I don't know how this is going to work out. I didn't even hear a flag being thrown during the preseason. So I don't know if they really enforcing it because I haven't seen a flag. I haven't heard anybody talking about it. We probably have to wait till the regular season and see if it does happen. But I don't know if they truly have enforced it just yet. Maybe someone can tell me, but I don't know. I didn't see no flags thrown during the preseason concerning that ruling.
Right.
Well, you know, if you look at this sport for the way it is, these kids today, 6'2", 6'3", 230, 240,
wow,
running a 4.5.
Wow.
They're bigger, they're stronger, they're faster, they're violent. It's a violent sport. They prey on the violence of the sport. And this is what fills up the stadium. They're big,
yeah,
they're fast, they're dangerous, and they like to hit.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah,
but
that's true.
Remember, the NFL is in a real serious trick bag. They got the most marketable sport in America, the most popular sport in America, brings in the most money, the biggest viewership. It was a sport literally made for television, and the thing that makes it so popular is the thing that could potentially kill it. They're walking a real fine line trying to figure out how to market something that could eventually kill it. A lot of people now are predicting that high school football is pretty much going to go by the wayside. But eventually, these schools aren't going to be able to afford the insurance it's going to take to ensure these kids play.
Yeah.
These kids who are getting practicing and dying, that can't keep continuing. So they're trying to figure out a way how do we play the game the way it's meant to be played without crippling and wrecking and destroying at the same time. Because one of the reasons that the NFL went through that settlement and capitulated so quickly, because public support was behind the play. And no one wants, like Junior Seau, kill himself, or Dave Lewis did kill himself because of the risk that they took 10 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, you got a point.
True.
That
very
is true. Yeah, you got a good point with that. I mean, but you got to look at it like this. I mean, in this story, it's a story, you know, of little kids who's just playing 6th, 8th grade, not even before high school, who are getting paralyzed because,
exactly,
you know, they're making hits. But the thing is, I mean, and I agree, it is a tightrope line, but if that's the case, you know, that's the sport. I don't wish for nobody to get a concussion. I don't want for nobody to get paralyzed. I don't want nobody to get, you know, to even, you know, die from it. Like the hit Johnny Knox took was ugly.
Yeah,
that Johnny Knox hit, that was your mom's
favorite
player.
That was hard to watch,
and it hurt her just to watch that play.
Yeah, right. It's very unfortunate that happened, and that's a hit that's kind of it's unusual to be folded like that. You know, that's just
back in the day, they had a kid from Farragut High School. And his name was Daryl Stingley.
Oh, his brother was my coach.
Yeah, he played New England Patriots.
Yeah, his brother was my coach.
And Jack Tatum hit him.
Mm-hmm.
That man never walked again.
Right.
So the violence is there. But to show you that now they got a league out here in Las Vegas called the NYC League. It's a youth football league. They go from peewee to eighth grade. And the NFL backs this league. They buy them equipment, they buy them jerseys, they buy them helmets. They get the best. And they are preaching to these young kids about not leading with the crown of their head. So if you got to start, you have to start there.
Right.
You can't start
right
at the pro level.
Right. That's what
you
I said
start
earlier.
At the peewee league.
Right. That's
and
what
hopefully
have to be.
You ain't got a crazy coach telling you to
kill
take
him in
him
the
out
head. Right. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Take
and the
him
thing
out. If we take him out, we can win.
Yeah.
So you got to look at that, too. I mean, who's telling you what to do and who to hit and how to hit?
Yeah. Well, I know my coach in high school, when we have practice and whatnot, you know, we have our full drills. But most of the times it's just wrap up. Just wrap up. You know, don't lean in forward, this and that. You know, lay your shoulder, but just wrap up. Because you don't want to knock out your key player. You know, he won't be able to play the next game. You know, right. We just wrapped up. And then you put all that anger and all that stuff,
you know,
in the game. So.
And I got a question behind everything real quick for everybody on the panel today. I wanted to ask y'all a question. Now, we're talking about the violence in this sport. We're talking about the hits. We're talking about the repercussions down the line and everything of the sort. My question is, we as fans, though, and we as anybody who watches this sport, anybody who's actually in the sport now who plays it, we love that aggression. We love that violence. We love that because I'm going to ask y'all this. If the NFL, if they said, all right, y'all, you know what, that's it, we can't take no more hits. The NFL now stands for the National Flag League, which means now it's flag football. Would you still pay to watch that same team, same players, everything's the same, except now there's no hitting, it's just flag football? Would you still watch it and be as dedicated as you are every Sunday or Monday or Thursday?
Well, I don't believe we would, because we are a country, a nation that was built on violence. And we accept violence. You look at any cowboy movie, we accept violence. Look at any army, navy, we accept violence. We grew up on violence. We took this country on violence. So the violent part of our nature is just that. We are a violent country, and we love violence. And football is a mild form of violence. Guy go out there and drink him 4 or 5 beers and hit him, kill him, shoot him, get it. You know, this is what we grew up on, and this is what we've learned to enjoy. And it's a sick thing to say, but violence is part of our nature. And football is in the heart of America, and it's a violent sport, and we love violence.
Right. It does sound barbaric, but that's true. If there's a fact what you just said there. I mean, that's football. That's the game we have to play, and I wouldn't watch them if it was flag football.
What you saying, Ray?
Oh, I'm going to give a little more of a nuanced answer, because I did play flag football in the Marine Corps. That the middle of that season, that's what they ended up changing to because of all of the broken bones. But there is actually still flag football in the form of one blocks and more.
Okay.
No. But, I mean, what my dad is saying is absolutely right. I mean, football is the key definition of the spread of surface in America, period. That's exactly what
it is. And you're absolutely right. You're right, man.
We got another caller. Let's see what the caller real quick. 868, Jerome with the Crew Brothers. What's your comment? 868, you're on with the Crew Brothers. What's your comment? Okay, on that note,
what did the guy say?
He didn't come in on the line, so we don't know. But like to go back to what you two guys were saying, you know, it is a violent sport, you know, and it's the reason that football is the upper echelons of what we want to see. It's a reason for that. I mean, we love basketball, we love baseball, we love all those other sports, you know, because there's something in each sport. Like you watch basketball, you're waiting to see that dunk on somebody, or you watch baseball, you waiting to see that home run. There's something in each sport that brings you there. And it's not always about the scoring. It's something, it's an intangible about a sport that locks you in and that gives you that. And football is strictly hitting. That's what, and like Ray was saying earlier, they have to walk that line because they know that the hitting is what brings the money in. They know the violence is what brings the money in. So therefore, I mean, if you're going to, don't tease us then. Don't tease us with a sport. Don't give us replacement refs.
Okay, I want to ask you guys one thing before this is all over, and I'd like to hear your perspective on it. Should college players who play for the university, should they get paid?
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. Yes.
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 That's one of the things I was just about to bring up. Again, the NFL is walking this line because they're trying to keep the game pure. Don't want to lose, but they know
I think we got the gist of what you were saying about, you know, them getting paid for it. And, yeah, I mean, it's like the universities are making so much money off of them to begin with anyway. I have to do some research, but I don't know who makes more money off of the universities or the actual teams that they play for.
Yeah.
I mean, the NFL team that they wind up going to, I don't know.
You get some colleges that makes more than an NFL team makes.
Right.
Because that's their pride.
With the television rights, of what they get. You know, Chris Webber made a statement, and he was saying when he was part of the Fab Five at Michigan, he was saying that his jersey in the sporting centers around the campus and the universities, his jersey was going for $150.
Mm-hmm.
And he was walking around eating oatmeal and pizzas, trying to get through the universities for his 4 years, and he just felt that he was being prostituted.
Yeah, they pimp you, and you know this is why I don't really fault Johnny Football if he did that. I don't fault him, man, because I'm a Heisman Trophy winner. Now this supposedly Johnny Football came from money. I don't really know because I don't know that man's dad nor his family, but Johnny Football supposedly was selling his autographs. And if I mean, not selling them to, hey, little kid, you want my autograph? That'd be $750. Nothing like that. But he would go sign some memorabilia and, you know,
right,
and he'd sell it. I don't see a problem with that because I'm a Heisman Trophy winner. I'm projected to go probably number one and number two in this next draft when I leave. You mean to tell me why am I sitting here? I can't feed myself. I can't put gas in the little car I got, or whatever the case may be, but yet and still this university is selling my number two jersey, and you look in them stands, you see Johnny Manziel's jersey, Johnny Manziel with the Heisman Trophy, Johnny Football everywhere, they're selling these T-shirts. University of Kentucky with Anthony Davis, that fear the brow, that bow to the brow, all of that, they milking it. So I'm like, at the end of the day, why not pay these kids who are putting their bodies on the line? Because all you're doing is sitting in the office counting on the money machine. It's not right to me.
Yeah, I agree to that.
Now,
and then
this last statement I want to make. My son-in-law, he played for Michigan, and they had a great team. And he say that the only thing that got them through a lot of the games is that when the game was over, and they would walk through the crowds. So each one of them players that was on their team, they would get two or three $50 handshakes. You know what I mean when I say a $50 handshake?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and they would look forward to that because that would be one of the ways they can get their clothes clean and get their gas in their car.
Exactly.
You know, it's under the table, it's illegal, but, you know, if you ain't got it and you need it, you know, you wonder why. Well, what is that kid? He's on the campus and he get busted stealing in a store or something. You know,
right.
Well, sometimes you look at it's a twofold situation.
Right. Family is from poverty, and they have to make that decision on. Hey, listen, I need to do something for my family right now.
Right.
You know?
I'm thousands of miles away from my family because I'm playing football here, so eventually one day I'll be able to take care of them. You came to get, and this is how I believe it should be. Coach, or whoever you sent to my house, you came looking for me.
which means you want what I bring to the table. Name me a place that you can go, and you know, if you go somewhere and you do a job for them, that's called working. So I'm working for your campus, which means why am I not getting paid? I'm working for your football team. Why am I not getting paid? I'm putting my body on the line to make sure you fill these stands. There is no place in the world that you go and do a job for somebody and you don't get paid in some retrospect. There is no occupation in the world except for college sports and maybe football in high school, but that's different. I believe football, you're not bringing no money in like that in high school football. NCAA football, all of these bowls they have, these orange bowls, fajita bowls, whatever you want to call them, all these bowls they have, these are $1 million, not six figures. We talking high eight figure million dollar businesses. And these kids can't get, hey, man, here's $300 a game. You can't do that for them? Nah.
I got you. Okay, let's go for a break. We're going to go ahead and take a break, and then when we come back, we'll get into our predictions and whatnot, because I want to hear what everybody think that the Bears are going to do and where they fall on their power rankings and whatnot when we come back. True Brothers Radio. Radio.
Are you a man but you're turned off by monster trucks? Have you ever watched the bridges of Madison County? Have you forgotten how to scratch yourself? If so, talk to your doctor, because you could be one of the 10 million men suffering in silence from a condition known as menopause. Menopause afflicts men over the age of 40 and is one of the leading causes of depression, the loss of manliness, and the popularity of movies starring Owen Wilson. But there is hope. Girly Man No More. Girly Man No More has been scientifically and clinically proven to increase manliness. Talk to your doctor to see if Girly Man No More is right for you. Girly Man No More should only be used as directed by your physician. Possible side effects include death, sudden loss of limbs, temporary disembowelment, rage, clammy hands, hairy palms, hearing voices, busy signals, extreme attraction to squirrels, and fear of elevators. Girly Man No More is not for men who are pregnant or who may become pregnant. Do not take Girly Man No More if you have hands or if you are currently taking any other medicine. So talk to your doctor and call now for a free trial. Girly Man No More. Also available in a topical cream. But that's just wrong.
That's 818-514-1202. And I want to ask you guys, what are y'all predictions for this year? And just tell me what you think, man.
I'm going to ask you a tiny question before we get into the predictions.
Okay.
How smart was Cam Newton's daddy?
Oh, that man's a genius. He played the game, didn't he? Yeah, he played it to perfection. He played it the way a star's dad should play it. Let me say that.
Okay.
He played, yeah, that sums that whole conversation up.
Yeah.
He played that game the way Dwayne Wade Sr. played it, the way LeBron James' daddy, if he knew who he was, should have played it.
Okay, all right. Well, I think the Bears will get 12 wins.
Wow. Wow. That's reaching.
I'm almost agreeing with him.
I mean, that's only 10 and 6?
Right.
That's not asking a hell of a lot.
Yes, I mean 12 wins out of a 16 game season. It's not asking for a lot, but to me, I want to give them the room for error because everything you're bringing in is new. Everything is new, and you got all the tools. Don't get me wrong. Everything's there for you to do it. On paper, you should do it, but I just look at it like, you know, they have to gel. I mean, Cutler has to get
the key is they have to stay healthy. All your key players have to stay healthy to get that 12-4 and take them into the playoffs and hopefully advance to the Super Bowl. But they have to be healthy. We left out that one key thing. If we get an injury, say to Brandon Marshall or to Cutler, we're downhill.
Forte, yeah.
Well,
but
you know,
but see, and you know what? Before we get into my predictions, I gotta say, a hit to Cutler is death, but a hit to Marshall, it's really bad. But I think you might be able to get through it. The reason I say that is you have so much talent in your receivers now. This is the first they have a receiving core that I don't think no other team in the league has. If correct me if I'm wrong. What's the boy name?
Alshon
Jeffrey should be that much better this year. I mean, last year they had a lot of BS offensive pass interference on this kid, and you know him under the tutelage of Brandon Marshall is going to help him out so much. You still got Bennett, who's a reliable third down hands. You got a couple little speedy receivers that you brought in, but your three-man tandem is the best receiving core I see in the best three receiving core I see across the NFL. I don't see nobody matching that.
Well, hopefully the season will agree with you on that. But yeah, you know, my prediction, I'm putting them more of 11-5 because I'm looking at the schedule now. First game against the Bengals, then we have the Vikings, Steelers, Detroit, Saints, Giants, the Redskins, Green Bay.
The first six games is the key.
Right, is the key. And then we have Detroit, the Ravens, the Rams, the Vikings, Cowboys, Browns, Eagles, and Green Bay towards the end of the year. It seems like the NFL makes sure we play Green Bay towards the end of the year.
Yeah.
But, yeah, what I'm seeing here is I got them at 11-5 with healthy season, and I'm not thinking that Cutler is going to be the $120 million man next year.
That'd be great.
Well, I'm gonna give my quick predictions real quick, and then we'll let Ray handle his. My quick predictions, first off, for the Bears, I honestly, sorry fellas, I see them at around 9-7. That's because the first game, a couple games, will will tell the tale. But I see, I honestly see Detroit being not as big as a problem as they was. They're going to split with Detroit this year. They're not sweeping them. They're not going to. I don't see them doing. I see them splitting with Green Bay as well. A couple of those other games are going to be the games that they throw because they're still a new team coming together. All the talent in the world, but they're still a new team coming together. I got them more at 9-7. And
well, I got to ask this one question. What happened to the defense?
I mean, the defense is going to be the defense. I mean,
I can't see you saying 9-7, and we got the top-ranked defense, the top-three defense here. And they just flipping the page from last year. They're not changing the chapter on the defense.
And let's go to last year and the year before. Last year they were hovering around 10-6, 9-7. The year before that they were hovering around 10-6, 9-7. So the reason I say that is your defensive team has gotten 2 years older, And you lost a couple key players. Not key players, but you lost a couple of players. One, you lost the star of your defensive team, regardless on what age he is.
But you gained some youth.
Yeah, you did. When you gain youth, you gain inexperience. That's why I have to give them.
But also, you got to look at it. Some of those veteran players that they went and pulled down are signed to a one-year contract. These guys are going to be playing their butt off just because they won't extend their football career.
Yeah, it's nothing against them playing their butts off and everything like that. But some team beats talent every day. So therefore, no matter how talented this one kid may be, one of them one-year dudes might blow up and kill a season. But the team, on the other hand, might beat that one dude who's trying to show off so he can have his contract. That's
right.
Why I have to put him around that 9-7 mark because, like I said, your defense has gotten older.
I'm looking at the schedule. See, you're not looking across the board.
Yeah,
you got to look at Green Bay. Green Bay has lost some key players and whatnot. Green Bay is not in the same position that they was last year.
No,
Green
not.
Bay done took a step down.
See,
okay. So I think the team that's going to have improved the most will be the Bears.
They improved. You won't disagree. Like, to me, Trestman could be up for Coach of the Year. He could. If he turns this team around the way on paper it looks to be turned around, you're absolutely right. I would not disagree with you.
Look across the league and look at what each team is dealing with right now.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in our division.
Yeah.
Okay. If you really think Detroit has moved up a step.
Yes, I do.
I don't think so.
I'm going to tell you why I believe Detroit has moved up a step. Ever since Detroit has brought in Matthew Stafford, they have done nothing but get better every year that they've played, to a point where they are on the verge. Remember, it was a certain time where we would sit back and we was like, the only person in our division we need to worry about is Green Bay. We was looking over Minnesota. We was looking over Detroit.
But
Detroit has built
our receivers matching up against Detroit corners.
You're bringing in receivers that Cutler has to first get off of Brandon Marshall. Let's be real. Cutler locks in on Brandon Marshall and will throw to Brandon Marshall with three dudes on him. Let's be real. Now, Cutler has to get that out of his mindset. Now, I'm saying give it a year or two. I agree with you. The Bears could be in the Super Bowl in a year or two, but they first have to get that. Cutler will not throw to you if he don't trust you. He trusts Bennett. He throws to Bennett. He trusts Brandon Marshall. Even if anybody he does not like is open, he will throw the ball to Brandon Marshall with three dudes on it simply because he trusts him. He will risk that interception because he trusts Brandon Marshall that much. My point is that I have to give them the leeway. Now, let's go look, like we were saying, let's go back and look at Detroit. Detroit added something that they were missing. They wasn't missing a lot. Detroit was two or three things from actually winning a division. Detroit has the receivers. Detroit has the quarterback. Detroit has the line. Detroit has the defensive line, and they're working on their linebackers. Detroit did not have a run game. Not saying that Reggie Bush solidifies the run game, but he does give them a threat at the run.
Detroit secondary is not up to par to the Bears' receivers. And then on the defensive end, I got to go back and say again, I can't see them at 9-7. Now, the only way they're going to be 9-7 is someone has got hurt. A key play roller has got hurt. 9-7?
The reason, again, if this was a team who's played together,
and I'm looking at the
reason. Okay, let me say this. Here's my point. The reason I say this, we've seen every sport where they build these all-star teams, right? They build these. They got a bought dynasty. They don't have a built dynasty. It's a purchased dynasty.
The Oakland Raiders was like that.
Right.
They had
now,
everybody on that team that was practically Pro Bowlers.
Right.
They didn't do anything because the chemistry wasn't there.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying about the Bears. The Bears on paper should really go. I don't want to say they put on perfect, but on paper the Bears should really only lose two games, and that's because they're going to wind down towards the end. On paper, they should be 14-2.
But because this is a new team, this that you have all, don't get me wrong, you have all the tools. You have a, but you're bringing in a new offensive squad. You bring, I mean, offensive personnel. You're bringing in new people
but
who want
what,
you to run
that's
a brand.
What we, that's what we've been missing.
Right, but and again, listen, now everybody has to everybody has to adapt to what we've been missing. That's what I'm saying. You have people have to get the concept of something down first. You can't just throw them into something that's new and say, hey, you gotta run this. You gotta leave room for error. And that's what I'm doing. I'm leaving room for error for the fact that the Bears, as talented as this team is, as hungry as these players will be, and as great as these players could be, you got two rookies. Now, they're two rookies are going to be
okay,
retained.
So,
Hold on.
Let me cut you off. Because I trained you as to be a Bears fan.
I brought
you up that way. And then you done flipped the script on me. So
Bears.
Who you got winning the division?
See, now you
nine and seven is not going to get the Bears winning the division. Who you got winning the division?
You're forcing me to be a realist right now. And it's to be a realist.
It can't be real until the end of the season, and then you look at who leads in what column and who got leads
in the
loss column.
Everything we're doing now is strictly prediction.
There's no reality to it.
Right.
So, but who you got picked?
My reality, because of history and because of the chemistry, I got Detroit maybe taking it, but if I'm going with history, I go with Green Bay.
Yep.
Well, you know what?
Don't be wishy-washy like that.
Is it
Green Bay or Detroit that's winning the division?
If I go with it, I'm going with Green Bay.
Okay, man, you're on punishment.
There it is.
But you know what, guys? I kind of agree with both of you guys, but the factor that I'm putting into this is that Cutler will be Cutler, and he will blow some games on his own.
Exactly.
If you look across the league, practically the top five quarterbacks has been in a position where they have lost the game.
True, but they have been in positions where they could have lost the game. Okay, but they've had how many?
Aaron Rodgers in the last four seasons leads the league in interceptions.
But Aaron Rodgers wins divisions. Aaron Rodgers has win Super Bowls. Aaron Rodgers does this. Now, my question is,
Aaron Rodgers had an offense to work with,
and that's my point. That's my point. You're giving Cutler what he's asked for. Don't get me wrong. Cutler said, "I need people to protect me, and I need somebody to throw to." You've given him that, but you've given him people to protect him. That's our rookie who's going to make the mistake of saying, "Oh, I should have known that next time."
So at least that doesn't give him two extra wins
from last year. No. I have to leave room for more than just one. Put it like this. I don't want to say this is not necessarily all the way true, but it's almost like working with a bunch of new, slightly smarter Jamarcus Webbs. Let me tell you why. The rookies are smarter than him, but they're going to play like him to begin with. They're going to get better as games go on, but they're getting better as the game's going on, they're going to lose some of those games, but you're going to say, yo, he's improved from the last game because you can see how he shifted when it was time for that block.
I'll put it to you
you're
this
going to
way.
See that.
If that offensive line can cut the sacks down in half and Cutler cut his interceptions down in half, they are 11-5.
Okay, let me ask you this. Besides moving Webb, what major that they did on the offensive line?
They revamped the offensive line.
With what? Besides taking Webb out and saying, look, you know what, you're stupid. Besides bringing in the two rookies that you brought in to protect him now, what major move have you done to the offensive line?
They brought the kid in from the Bushrod. Right.
Right. Now,
the veteran player, Pro Bowler.
Okay, now, here's my thing. Remember, he's a veteran, he's a Pro Bowler. So was Orlando Pace.
He was an older guy.
Yeah, but see, Orlando Pace was an older guy, and he was a veteran Pro Bowler. This dude, he's not as old as Orlando Pace, but he's up there with where Orlando Pace is when we brought him here. That's what I'm saying.
I think Pace was older than this guy. Plus, one of the coordinators on the Bears, and I was also this guy's coach on the Saints.
Yeah, and I mean, again, it's not taking you going to a dude who's protected Sean Payton. I mean, not Sean Payton, but Drew Brees, which I get you. That makes, again, makes all the sense in the world. So he, on paper, his resume says, hey, I know how to block for a quarterback. I give you that. My thing is Orlando Pace was the same way. So the only reason I'm saying what I'm saying is because I have to give a new team enough time to gel. That's with anything. You like your D-Wade, your big three that was over in Miami. They, on paper, they should have won it that year. But it's, they have to gel. But when they came back that next year, they won a championship. Then the year after that, which was this year, they won the championship because they got the gel down. They was able to get it. I say give them a year. Give them a year. They're going to be in a year, they will be at 11-5, 12-4. I believe that.
Yeah.
But not this year.
And trust me.
Well, I agree to a certain point with Miami. Well, if you looked at Miami, every team that they played this year was hurt. They
yeah,
did not
that,
play
that's
a
what I was
team
getting ready to say. They had a little help.
Every team that they played, they had one of their best players hurt.
Okay.
So, and then, you know, I mean, they get every call in the book, so hey.
I want to get into that real quick, but, Ray, we got to get your prediction real quick, man. I want to get in to answer your dad's question, but, I mean, your dad's statement, but, Ray, give me your predictions, man.
Yeah, and since I've been cut out, I'm going to go ahead and put you guys on hold just so that hopefully that'll cut down on the cutting out. Real quick, I believe that the man, Trestman, deserves a honeymoon period. You've got to give the man a honeymoon period. You've got to give the players time to buy into his system so he can show that his system can work and that they can buy into it and start producing. I'm giving them a real low bar, something that's real easy to get under. I believe that they really should overachieve, but I'm giving them 8-8 just because I want to give him a honeymoon period. I believe that there's a lot of unknown factors there. I believe that Cutler is going to have a productive year, but he could crack under the pressure. The two rookies on his right side, there's going to be some games that they're going to crack under the pressure. When they go into Texas Stadium, the noise can make them crack under the pressure. Definitely one of the games in Detroit, that could happen. You got a Dominican Sioux over you, and then you're playing in a dome that's super loud. That could be a problem. So I'm trying to give them room to grow and to correct some of the mistakes because they got young players. I'm going to put y'all back in so y'all can comment on some of that stuff. But I believe that the man deserves a honeymoon, and you've got to give him a honeymoon period.
I agree with everything you said. Like I said, we're pretty much around the same thing, 9-7, 8-8. I don't go 8-8, though, but I do go 9-7. I do get that.
Me giving him a super
low bar. I done seen some teams that came in with a new coach. And they were just, you know, with San Francisco, with Harbaugh. He came in right after Singletary, and he moved forward. But
yeah,
it wasn't a step back.
No.
I
give you that.
I mean,
but
you and Ray is stepping back.
I'm only stepping back like two games, though. That's what I'm saying. I'm stepping back really two games. Now, remember, though, when Harbaugh first got there, they was not the team that went to the Super Bowl. Remember that, though, right?
Because remember, they had a couple of seasons where they either met what they was when Singletary was there, and that they either went back a game. They was not that Super Bowl caliber team. Because if you look at it, when Deion Sanders was talking about them teams, he was like, "Look, I'm telling y'all now." I think it was like 3 years ago when Deion Sanders was like, "Yo, watch out for the 49ers. They're on their way." And I agree.
Deion Sanders said the same thing about the Bears.
And the year he did say that about the Bears, we went to the Super Bowl. That year he was like, I'm going to tell y'all now, the Bears are going to go to the Super Bowl. I give you that. Now, again, like to go back to the 49ers, though, only thing they brought in was Harbaugh. They kept everything the same. Only thing they did was brought in Harbaugh. They kept the offensive coordinator the same. They kept the defensive coordinator the same. They kept everything the same. All they did was brought in a new leader. We're bringing in a new leader and new guns
and
that these kids don't know how to use.
Man, I think you're going to be surprised. Now, you got me so upset. Hey, I ain't changed mine. The Bears going to be 16-0 all the way to the Super Bowl.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see.
Oh yeah,
and like I say, to me, the only way they can go is up. I mean, they got better
no
foundation,
doubt.
Better coaching.
Yeah,
yeah.
I totally agree with you. I totally agree with you. But like I said, it's all about, I believe, the timing, and I believe the jail is going to take it. But
man, I got to say this, son. All these years, I thought I had you brainwashed, so I got to work on you a little bit more.
No, you taught me to be a realist, and you taught me to think. And the thinking man says, I can't ride with my emotion. My emotion says 14-2. My emotion says that. But, let me scratch that. My emotion says 11-5, 12-4. But my logic side of me, the thinking man in me is saying, yo, you got to look at it like this. You got to look at it like that. You
got
to look at it like
hey,
this.
Hey, they got that saying, study long, study wrong.
Yeah.
But you're doing too much thinking.
There it is.
Just let them play the game, and we'll watch it on Sundays and Mondays and Thursdays. Ain't it so great?
Oh yeah, I'm just happy it's back. Let's just can we all be in agreement that we're happy that the greatest sport is back on television and we can all enjoy it all over again, man.
I need a strong dose of football right now.
Okay, well, gentlemen, I got a rainstorm happening out here, and I think I'm gonna lose you guys. So I'm gonna let you know right now. It was great talking with you. I really enjoyed this.
Hey, pleasure talking to you, sir.
And all we can do is say go Bears.
Right,
as I stated, remember, a bear ain't nothing but a big cub.
That don't sound right, but it's the cub part, ain't it?
But yeah, see, that the whole baseball thing did not work out. Everybody
Hey, mute that and say it again, man. Because people need to hear that. Mute that and say it again.
Okay, I said that, that whole baseball thing didn't work out this year, so everybody couldn't wait for football season. I know, I pulled the ripcord on that baseball thing back in May.
That's absolutely right, man. Yeah, that. So, anyway, but real quick, though, before we get out of here, man, your daddy said something that I wanted to comment on about the Heat. Miami did play a lot of weak teams or whatever, but Miami was still took to the limit by those teams that was the Miami faced a couple of seven-game elimination, including the championship game, including this game they played against the Pacers, and it was another game they played where they faced elimination. So, yeah, their star players was down this year, but the year before that, when they won it all, they didn't have no competition, and the star players was there, including your Derrick Rose, your Russell Westbrooks, and your Kevin Durant. That was my only argument. Basketball is my stuff. Leave it at that.
All right, thanks, guys. It was a pleasure talking to y'all. I'm going to get ready to head and
get out of here.
And to the outside world, to the callers, the listeners, and whatnot, enjoy this season of football. No matter what team you're cheering for, you'll see the Bears in the Super Bowl. Take care.
All right, Pops.
Yep. All right. Well, then that just leaves me and you two.
Yes, sir. It leaves us like it's, you know, it's the Truth Brothers finishing the show up like we always do. So,
Real quick, I want to say, every year there's somebody.
You say what now?
I say every year, you know, you got a team that comes out of the NFL that goes that was last place.
Okay.
What you got?
You cut out again. Yeah, you cut out again real quick. It was right towards the end. You cut out, bro.
I think
you know what to do.
Yeah. Give me your worst person.
My worst what?
Oh, God. Okay, this ain't working out at all. Okay, let's just wrap let's just wrap this up. Yeah, it's been a great show.
Absolutely.
You know, we should have had the barbecue grill going. Next year we'll have barbecue outside and do the whole thing.
Yeah, we got to do the whole show outside and we all together and just put it on loud. And we all use one mic. That way it'll be a better show. Let's do it like that.
Right. So we're going to go ahead. Let's go ahead and just wrap this puppy up and let you know that if you're not listening to the Truth Brothers,
then the truth ain't in you.
Peace, y'all.
Two fingers, yo.